Lord Jesus, I just pray that you'd show up and do the work, oh God, that only you can do. Show up in our hearts and in our lives. But right now, I just pray that you show up in as we hear from you and your words. And I know, God, that you're going to be, we're going to all be kind of hearing Seth's voice here, kind of like it's going to be like, oh, it sounds like Seth to me. Well, God, I just pray that you would work in such a way that your voice would come out, oh God, that we would actually hear from you right now. Please speak, oh God. Help me to simply just kind of disappear and just say the things you want us to hear, and help me to say only the words you'd have us hear, and not a word more and not a word less than that. Show up right now, oh God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, our series that we're jumping into is What's First? What's First? We're going to be spending 6 weeks on this, and we're going to be looking at the hierarchy of things that we value in our lives, okay? I think this is for anybody. The hierarchy of value that we find in different things in our life. Because isn't it true that there are simply some things that we value over other things, right? All the time. We value... I would say something along the lines of, I value my kids more than my job. I mean, there's a value there. There's something that we get more meaning from. Our identity is maybe more intertwined with than something else. We love certain things. We don't love this quite as much. We care about this. We don't maybe care about this as much, right? That's everybody. And the reality is I was thinking a little bit about this. I'm a big fan of Taco Bell, okay? But I was thinking, but here's what's funny, because you laugh because I've shared Taco Bell stories before. Here's another one. But I want to be really honest with you. I'm not just like a Taco Bell fan. I think I'm just a fast food fan. See? I just like love that. I love like McDonald's. I love Burger King. I love all that stuff, okay? So don't peg me as just like a Taco Bell guy as much as just kind of lump me in with fast food category. I just love that. I really do. But the other day, me and my boy, we were actually driving over to Taco Bell, and we were heading to the one in Porter, and then I turned right, and I actually kind of did a loop, and I found myself over at the one over here, this new one in Valley Ranch. You guys see that one over here? And my boy, my oldest boy was with me, and he says, hey, Dad, why are we going this one? Why aren't we going to that one? And it was so embarrassing, okay? I actually can't believe I'm about to share this with you. But it was really embarrassing because I told him the truth. And the truth is, I've been seeing not as many cars out front of that Taco Bell in Valley Ranch. And I want to give them some business so that they stay open. Like, okay, I got one big head shake back there, yes. I mean, that's actually why I drove another mile. I mean, I can't believe it. I'm not kidding. My house is in the center of 3 Taco Bells, and I want to keep them all open. Like, I'm making effort to keep them open and running, okay? So if you could literally help me in this, that would be really awesome, because I'm nervous with Sam's closing down. Did you see that? Sam's is closing down. Taco Bell's like right there. Not a lot of cars. And I'm just like, we got to go buy some tacos from these guys to keep them open. Just to keep options out there. I know you think this is funny, but I'm actually kind of really serious. So I love Taco Bell. I love fast food. I really do. But like, I love my kids more than that. Right? I mean, I love my wife more than I love Taco Bell or something. I mean, of course, I'm being silly there. But there's this hierarchy of things that we value in our life. There just are. And if we were to kind of make a list, boom, 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 we'd kind of be able to make a list, actually, of stuff. And so I'm simply asking the question, what's first? There's no secret. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I'm going to be teaching from the Bible, right? I'm going to be teaching God should be first. There's no secret here. If you're maybe here and you're not maybe even a Christian or something, I hope that you still engage the series, because quite honestly, I think you'll be able to learn some stuff, even if at the end you're like, well, I don't want God to be first, but maybe some other hierarchy kind of stuff, and maybe moving this up there a little bit in values and stuff. Okay, that's great, and I hope that that happens for some of you. But I have to be honest with the simple fact that we are going to be kind of talking about how God needs to be first. Like, God needs to be number one. He needs to be the thing who we get most value from, who we get our identity from, where we find ultimate meaning for our life from. Like, it starts with this relationship with God. And the reality is when we start to put it into other things, whatever those things might be, where the places where we find ultimate meaning and value and our identity in, oftentimes it can be very easy to just kind of look at it and say, if that thing were to go away, if that thing were to be taken from me, my world would begin to crumble. And we see this with, we see this all over the place with people who are, you know, so invested in their careers, and then they retire or they get fired, and life just starts to kind of like, where's the meaning in my life? Where is it? I mean, we see this with athletes all the time, right? They're out there playing and they're just 100%, it's all about this, and then they, you know, break their ankle or something and they're out, and there's incredible depression. You can just, there's research on this stuff. There's depression, there's suicide that's wrapped up in these kinds of things, all sorts of things, because we have something that's first and then it gets taken away from us, and life begins to kind of crumble around us. And it's one of the ways in which we can start to identify what is that thing that's first. And what needs to be first? And how do we achieve that? How do we attain that? Well, some of these things are things we're going to be talking about. Because the reality is I can idolize, and I can start to kind of, and I use that word idol for the first time there, but idolize or basically make anything else kind of God in my life, or the thing that I kind of worship, and I'm using not helpful words quite yet, but this is why we're doing it and unpacking it in a series. There's going to be other things in my life, like family or something, but the reality is someday, like, my wife is going to die, or I am going to die. And so do you want to have ultimate meaning and ultimate value and ultimate everything wrapped up in that? Is that what needs to be first? And God is saying, I need to be first because here's why. You can't take me away. You can't take me away. So if you were to jump with me to kind of the text that I want us to look at a little bit, which is Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. This is what it says. And this is kind of the theme. I'm setting up the series maybe more than I am just preaching, super just kind of focused this morning, okay? But listen to this. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. What is that? That's the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, okay? It's the first command. You shall have no other gods before me. I want to be first. I want to be first. I need to be first. Now, when we hear that, what do you start to think about? I know for some of us, one of the first things we start to think is like, there's some God or something out there that's just like ticked off, right? And he's like almost selfish and like, I need to be first. You have no other God. You know, almost like a Sean Connery God or something. Okay? Sean Connery, you shall have no other gods. I'm just checking that out. That's actually pretty good. It's actually not bad. The Sean Connery God, right, who's just like ticked off in anger or something. Well, is that how the Ten Commandments start? I'm pretty adamant about this in my family. When we talk about the Ten Commandments, I always ask my kids, I'm like, how do the Ten Commandments start? And what's, you know, most of the time people would say, you shall have no other gods before me. But what does it say? How do the Ten Commandments actually start? You see that? I am the Lord your God who's just brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And so if you were to ask my kids, well, how did the Ten Commandments start? They'd probably say, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery. That's how the Ten Commandments start. See, what's the context? What's the context of the Ten Commandments? The Israelites, folks, okay, as I'm reading here in Exodus, which I'd encourage you to go read Exodus, the context of Exodus, or this story of the Ten Commandments, is the Israelites had been in slavery for 400 years. They'd been in Egypt for 400 years. You've seen the movie Prince of Egypt, right? You kind of know what I'm talking about. And so there's the little cartoon, Disney, I think, right? 400 years of slavery that they'd been in. Well, how long have the United States been around? Like 170, 250 years or something? I don't know. Whatever it is, right? Not very long. Anybody? Seriously? Wow. What? 240? 240, okay. Whew. We got it. Get enough people in the room, you can get it figured out, you know? That's awesome. Thanks, Jeffrey. 240 years. The Egyptians have been in slavery for 400 years, and God shows up. God comes right in the person of Moses. Or not, he doesn't come in the person of Moses. He comes to Moses, and he says, Moses, I'm going to use you. And he goes out, and they go into Egypt, and then there's the 10 plagues thing takes place. And then finally, Pharaoh says, okay, you can let the people go. And so the people go out to the Red Sea, and then the Pharaoh's army's like, no, we need those people. So they start coming after him with their swords. They're going to kill them all. And then all of a sudden, the Red Sea opens up, right? And it opens up, and they just start walking across on dry land. They get to the other side, and the Egyptians come down into the water, and then, and all the water comes back on them. Well, I don't know. You see what I'm saying, though? And so all the water comes crashing down, and just like that, Egypt, like, their military is completely destroyed. Like, literally, the Israelites could have turned around and went back into Egypt and totally sacked Egypt. That's how devastating the loss to Egypt was. Like the power, the slavery that they had been enslaved to for hundreds of years, just like that, freedom. And God says, no, I've got somewhere else where I want you to go. So he starts pointing them in another direction. And it's then 3 months later, look at chapter 19, verse 1. It's 3 months out of that salvation. One of the most important stories in all of the Old Testament. It's just an incredibly important story. God just working like crazy for his people. And then 3 months later, he gets up on a mountain and he says, okay, don't have any other gods before me. Of course not. I mean, of course don't have any other gods before me. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not cover your neighbor. Right? And just, okay, of course not. Because why? Because the context is a deep love that God has for his people. See, the Ten Commandments, God's commands in general, and especially his command for you to have him be first in your life, is rooted, follow me on this, is rooted in his deep love for you. You got to hear that. God's commands are rooted in his deep love for you. This is something you want to be tweeting out. Okay? Yep, perfect. Tweet this stuff out. Hashtag boom. Because this is where we're starting with this series, guys. We're not starting this series off of, you shall have no other gods before. No, we're starting this series off of, I'm the Lord your God who just brought you out of stinking slavery for 400 years. Of course you're not going to have any other gods before me. Are you kidding? Of course not. I'm your God. I've chosen you. You're my people. You're not going to have any other gods. No, don't do that. It's an entirely different way of looking at the Ten Commandments. It's an entirely different way of looking at all of God's commands. I think I just rocked some of your worlds this morning because some of you have been thinking about the commandments as if it's the Sean Connery God. He loves you like crazy. The other day, I brought my daughter, Ariana, up onto my lap. And we were just sitting in our big couch. And I just brought her up and I was just holding her tight. And I was just telling her, Ariana, I love you so much. I just care about you so much. Do you know that? Like, I love you so much. And even someday when you get married and stuff, like, just know that Daddy loves you so much. And I always will love you. Like, you'll always be my little girl, and I just care about you so much. And then, like, later on in the day, it's like, hey, Ariana, come on, stop doing that, right? It's like, Ariana, don't. You can't hit your brother like that. Come on. Ariana, don't do that. See, I'm not saying those things because I'm ticked off at her. I'm saying those things because I love her like crazy. I love you. I want what's best for you. God wants to be first in your life because he knows it's best for you. He does it because he cares about us. He does it because he knows a little bit more than you do. This is where it starts. Out of a deep love and care for you, his people. And so when we start to put things like career, and we start to put things like kids, and we start to put things like work and family and money and comfort, I want to talk about comfort sometime in this year. When we start talking about some of these things, and we start to make them first, God knows that these are things that can disappear in an instant. They can just be taken, they can be gone. Just like that. And God is saying, I am the one thing that just, you can't ever get ripped away from. You can't take me out of the picture. So why wouldn't you build off of me, the rock? Right? I mean, all sorts of biblical kind of images here. I need to be first. And notice, none of these things are bad things. Isn't that interesting? These aren't like bad things. Oh, family. No, of course not. These aren't bad things. These are really, really good things. I was listening to a sermon by Tim Keller this past week on kind of idolatry and kind of the way he was looking at it. And I had to share this one quote that he shared. He says, these things, idols are oftentimes not bad things, but they're really good things. Just made best. You see that? These aren't bad things. Most of the time, they're really good things that have simply been made best in your life. They're created things that have become twisted to, we begin to worship the created rather than the creator. This is why Jesus has come. This is why he came. Because check this out, Matthew chapter 22, I wanted to read this to you. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. See, Jesus came to bring us back into relationship with God again. Just imagine, and I already saw one of the questions that came in, and I'm going to use this in a minute too, but just imagine you and the way in which you relate to the world is on like this horizontal plane, and so the way in which you connect and relate to each other is like on a horizontal plane, and then the way in which you relate to God is on like this vertical plane. So you got kind of like this vertical relationship to God, and then you have a horizontal relationship with other people. And I'm just saying this again. This is pretty much what I've been saying. But I'm just saying it again to maybe help somebody else. But the world, by and large, is fairly good at this kind of horizontal stuff. This kind of common ground of like, you shall not murder. Okay, yeah, let's not do that to each other. Okay? And this is really, if you look at the commandments, this is really commandments 4 through 10 of the Ten Commandments. Shall not murder. shall honor your father and mother, shall not commit adultery, shall not, and our world doesn't actually get this the way that God is laying it out for us, right? But in general, we fairly kind of have an understanding of these kinds of things. But it's this first commandment that the world, it knows very little about. And it doesn't want to talk about it. Let's just kind of stay on this kind of level, engaging with our neighbor. But in terms of my relationship with God, I don't even want to think about that. But this is why Jesus came. To be the central point where we can say, there is God revealed the most. And we can look to him and we can say, there's my Savior who came to die on a cross for me, to save me from my sin, to bring me back into a relationship with the God of the universe again. And out of that relationship then, boom, reorient the way I look at my neighbor. And it changes everything in the way, in terms of the way I look at the world now. See, this has to get kind of straightened out. This has to get kind of fixed so that I can even look at this in the right way. This is why Jesus came. Look at Romans really quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Jesus came to save you. He's came to break the chains, the bondage that you are in, the enslavement to sin and death, and even the power of the devil that you are in. And it's in that context then that he says, of course, don't have any other gods before me. Of course, I need to be first. I've just saved you. You're my people. I want to use you. Are you kidding me? Of course, you're not going to have any other gods. It's not, you shall have no. It's, come on, man. Of course not. So we go back to our identity. We go back to the place where we find meaning, where we find true value. And we begin to think seriously about that relationship with God, because if we don't have that right, everything else can be taken away. Everything. Everything. Even really, really good things. I want to pray for us. Lord Jesus, we have so many questions about these things because it is really that which matters most. You matter most, God. And God, we recognize that we sometimes are like that rich young ruler from the Bible who comes up unto you and says, I've done everything. I've kept the law pretty good. And you, Jesus, just look at him with just such love and care, and you just, yeah, but you don't have a relationship with God yet. You don't understand that which is most important. And Jesus, so often we screw up with this. So often we have misplaced what we're putting first. Even as we put things like our neighbor first, God, help us to be careful that we don't get that all jumbled up with you. You teach us, love the Lord your God first. Then the second is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay. Help us to keep that kind of orientation, oh God. And Jesus, we are so sorry for where we've screwed this up. And there's some of us, God, that we have twisted that completely backwards. And even you know, Jesus, as you kind of revealed to me this past week, even our ideas about you, even our ideas about God can be wrong. And can become idols in our lives. And God, help us with that. Help us to think very seriously these next 6 weeks about what we've put first in our life. What are those easy tendencies for us to put first and to keep that from ever happening, oh God. And Jesus, we just thank you that when we do that, that you are there to forgive us. And so even now, we turn to you and we ask for your forgiveness. We're sorry. We're sorry for where we've fallen short. Jesus, we ask that your Spirit would continue to lead us and guide us, to always keeping you first. And God, we do love you. We do love you first. We do love you first. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that confession that you just confessed to God, if that was kind of your prayer, just know that our God loves you and cares about you. Know that he does promise to forgive you your sins. And your sins, even now, are forgiven because of what he's done for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your sin is gone. Your sin is gone. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Let's just keep kind of this next couple weeks, keep looking at some of these specific tendencies we can have and how we can kind of avoid them and how God can continue to work in us to kind of step out of that and step into what he's got for us, namely what's best for us. Amen.